It's Wednesday, the 10th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to Paul Millsap, Zaza Pachulia, and Bobby Portis. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Fly Daddy. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Fly Daddy, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be a sponsor. It's very straightforward. Not only does that get you to be a sponsor of the podcast, but it helps the show out enormously. So thank you to everyone who's done that, and thanks especially to Fly Daddy, today's sponsor. Also, of course, a big shout out goes out to moneyball.com.au, Australia and New Zealand's best daily fantasy sports site. If you're not playing on Moneyball and you live in Australia, I want a note from your parents to say why not. Very straightforward. Okay, we've got stacks of stuff to talk about today. There was the games from Tuesday. There's the preview of Wednesday's action, as per usual. Got the Facebook and Instagram contests for Tuesday, looking ahead to what's happening on Wednesday. The standard lines of the night. And a stack of news went down in the NBA today. We're going to touch on all of the Marc Gasol news, Tyreek Evans news, Jeff Teague news, Jason Kidd, whatever he was doing. Lots of stuff to talk about. Before we get into that, though, got a quick message from our today's presenting sponsor, SeatGeek. Whether you're looking to buy tickets to a game or sell tickets you can't use, you need to check out SeatGeek, the smartest way to buy and sell tickets for your favorite sports team. SeatGeek is the go-to app for buying tickets to sporting events. As I mentioned the other day, my brother was lucky enough to go and see the Warriors-Rockets game from today. He got his tickets via SeatGeek. You can go and any game that's in your city, if you're living in the States, obviously. Hey, there's stuff that's even happening in Australia and internationally as well. You can go see sporting events. You can go see concerts, Broadway shows, all that sort of stuff. And if you've got extra tickets, use SeatGeek to sell it to another friend or to a fan. SeatGeek pulls all the ticket buying and selling options from other ticket sites into one place to save you time. It also knows the fair market value of every ticket, and they use that information to show you the best deals and help you find underpriced seats. If you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek will help you price your tickets on their site so that you can quickly sell them to another fan. SeatGeek has the lowest fees of any ticket site out there and always shows you the full price up front. All my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code REDROCK, which is one word. Very easy. Again, if you're watching on the video, you can see it up on the screen. Promo code REDROCK. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. All right. Now, I'm not sure. When should Michael Bolton kick us off? Because I've got a lot of stuff to get to even before I get to the monstrous line of the night. Let's go with an early Michael.
Let's get to it.
Thanks, Mick, because we do have a lot to talk about. We'll start off with how we're going to do it. Oh, let's start off with the Facebook and Instagram contest. On Instagram today, we were guessing how many points and rebounds LaMarcus Aldridge would score combined. The answer was 32. No one guessed it right. So another chance to guess that for the games on Wednesday. On Facebook, our target was James Harden, how many combined turnovers and free throw attempts would he have? The correct answer was 14. We had two people get it right. Matta Warren, and for the second day in a row, Jeff McCulker. Jeff, you're some sort of basketball oracle every day, just picking the correct total on these lines. So congratulations to Jeff and to Matta Warren, who guessed James Harden with his free throw attempts and turnovers. 13 free throw attempts, one turnover. That's super efficient from Harden, by the way. And that was the Facebook contest for today. For Wednesday, there's 12 games on. On Facebook, what we're looking for is Victor Oladipo. How many points is he going to score? And on Instagram, we're going to do J.R. Smith. How many three-point attempts? And reminder, the other day, J.R. took 16 three-point attempts. So that's what we're looking for. Not how many three-point makes, three-point attempts. You'll see those go up on Instagram and on Facebook four hours or so before the games tip off. Now, before we get into the lines of the night, all this news that went down. Marc Gasol, broken foot. No timetable out yet. I reckon it's a pretty safe bet to say he's out for the season. Yeah, tentatively, you can say maybe 2 months and he comes back for the last two games or so before the end of the regular season. For fantasy purposes, he is basically done. He can be dropped if you don't have IR. Tariq Evans is done. He's done for the season. Some of you might be hearing this for the first time. You know, listen to this podcast in the morning in the States. Evans is done. He is having season-ending surgery on his knee. His year is over. So two big injuries that are having big impacts on teams. The other one that came out was Jimmy Butler is out for 4 weeks, which is not a shock. Basically, this time every year, Jimmy Butler is out for 4 weeks. It feels like the Iron Man thing is a myth with Jimmy Butler. He does get injured quite a lot. That's why when they were saying he was going to miss one or two games, it seemed very, very unlikely to me. But here it is, more misdirection coming from NBA teams. No, he's doubtful. He might play. No, he's not. He's out for 4 weeks. Let's tackle all these individually. Marc Gasol, Brendan Wright will, when he comes back from after the All-Star break, hopefully, get the starting center job. He is a guy who's you can add, and he's going to really help your field goal percentage. He'll get some rebounds. He'll block some shots and be helpful in those areas. He's also a really low turnover guy. Two, he's a guy to have a look at, but he hasn't played for, I don't know, 2-3 months, so he might take a little bit of time to get up to speed. Ryan Hollins is going to be the other center, but in the last game where Gasol hurt his foot and Gasol played just 10 minutes, Hollins only played 5 minutes. He's no good. They went really small. They played a lot of Zach Randolph at center. So if Zach Randolph is available, he has to be added. And with Randolph playing more center, you're going to see more Jeff Green at the four, more Matt Barnes at the four. Both of those guys, they should have been owned anyway. They absolutely have to be owned now. You have to make sure that Matt Barnes and Jeff Green are both owned. Obviously, Zach Randolph as well. And then if those guys are all gone, which they probably should be in a competitive 12-team league, Brendan Wright's the next guy. But you're going to have to obviously wait until after the All-Star break, and you might have to wait until the middle of or the end of February for him to really start to have an impact. So you really have to look at your team and go, can I afford maybe a week of nothing from that position while we wait for Brendan Wright to not only get back into game shape but start to play minutes and become effective? That's going to be the concern with him. With Tariq Evans, we know what the situation is. We've seen it for the last week or so. Norris Cole's going to start. Why? I got no idea. Bryce DeJean-Jones has been the starting shooting guard. He's had alternating good games and bad games. He's not really a 12-team league target. And Drew Holiday is going to be awesome. So there's a lot of questions coming through. Is Drew going to get a bump? Is Drew going to be... Well, he's going to be what he's been in the last 2 weeks. Norris Cole is going to be what he's been the last 2 weeks. The rotation, I think, is going to be what it's been the last 2 weeks, unless they realize, you know what, let's play Drew Holiday more minutes than Norris Cole. That would be a common sense sort of maneuver, but Elvin Gentry and common sense haven't necessarily gone hand in hand so far this season. So with the Pelicans, it's not a, oh shit, what happens now? Because we know what happens. We've seen what's happened the last 2 weeks. Tony Douglas is going to get his 17 minutes off the bench. Yeah, Cole's going to get 32 minutes or so. Holiday's going to get his 30 minutes. DeJean Jones is going to get 24, 25 minutes on average, that sort of range. It's what's been happening the last week. Don't expect too much different from that. With Jimmy Butler, Etwan Moore is going to be the guy that's benefiting there. With Mike Dunleavy back in the starting lineup, Moore moves down to the two, and he's been really useful lately. So I think that he is worth a look at in 12-team leagues, Etwan Moore. Mike Dunleavy, maybe probably a 14-team league guy because he's still working. He hasn't played all season. He's played one game or two games. He's got to work his way back into some minutes as well and back into some form. And even when he was playing starters minutes last season, it wasn't as if he was a must-own sort of player. Derrick Rose obviously gets the big bump, and Pau Gasol gets a bit of a bump with Butler out, but Etwan Moore is the guy, and I'd be picking Moore up over Mike Dunleavy on that team. The other three big injury news things that we had go down over on Tuesday. The next thing is Jeff Teague. Lots of intrigue with Teague. Didn't mean to make that rhyme there. I know that Kyle did it on the Basketball Monster player comment section today, so I apologize, Kyle. That was unintentional for me to steal your humor. Jeff Teague apparently deleted all of his Instagram photos referencing Atlanta, put up some cryptic cryptic Uno pictures with ATL on them, now removed his team as being Atlanta from his social media sites. We don't know what any of this means. The rumors of Teague being traded have been floating around for the last 2 weeks. I've been telling you, just hold on to Schroeder, and let's see what happens in this next week. Now it's absolutely hold on to Schroeder, and let's see what happens in this next week. Because if Teague's gone and another point guard doesn't go, we've heard all sorts of rumors. He's going to Indiana in a swap for George Hill. He's going to the Knicks. He's going to Utah. He's going to Orlando. And you know, Atlanta's blowing everything up. Millsap's going. Horford's going. Korver's going. Everyone's going all over the place. There's so many rumors coming out of Atlanta at the moment. But the big thing is, go and grab Schroeder and just wait on it, and let's see what happens over the next week. See if a trade actually does go down. But some crazy stuff happening. Jason Kidd, talk about him in a bit. We'll talk about him when we get into the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, with all that stuff out of the way, let's get to the monstrous line of the night. It is James Harden of the Houston Rockets. Harden played 40 minutes against the Warriors in what was a pretty decent game from the Rockets. They were smashed early and they did start to come back, but in the end, the Warriors, too strong as they are for basically everyone. 37 points for Harden, including 6 triples. He went toe-to-toe with Steph Curry and you know, didn't win, but was pretty good. And a lot of people might look at this and go, why didn't you give it to Steph? I'll talk about that in a sec. 37-5-5 for Harden, 6 triples, 3 steals and a block. And that's part of the reason why Harden gets it, because 3 steals and a block when Curry had 1 steal and no blocks, and Harden went 11 of 13 from the line. This is one of those cases where Steph Curry goes 4 of 4 from the line. He didn't miss one, but 11 of 13 is massive volume. It's 3 times the volume, and it's more impactful than going 4. 4 of 4 is a worse free throw performance than 11 of 13. And that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand the concept of. But once you're over average in terms of free throw percentage, the more volume you have, the more it starts to count than actual percentage. And there's obviously lots of standard deviation math that goes into it, but that's where it comes from. And he was also 10 of 21 from the field, and then the one turnover was pretty handy as well. So overall, a really good night from James Harden. He's been fantastic this year for as many people who were down on him to start the year. 28 points a game, 3 triples, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.5 steals, 0.7 blocks. They're obviously elite numbers. The waiver wire line of the night, we're going to stay with the Rockets and the Warriors, and I'm going to go with Andrew Bogut, who had a fantastic line. 13 and 11 in 29 minutes. He had 3 steals and 6 blocks on 5 of 10 shooting. Now, there'll be people who look at this and go, oh, Festus Ezeli is out for 6 months. This is Andrew Bogut. Let's grab him. Let's also remember that all the other games that Festus Ezeli has missed, Bogut's played 18 minutes. Occasionally, he'll play a big game like this and play some big minutes, but Ezeli, we've barely seen on the court this year. He's had numerous injuries back and forth, and Bogut just doesn't get big run. Now, Bogut still has value in 12-team leagues at 20 minutes a game because of what he can do. His assist rate is normally pretty high. His shot blocking, his rebounding, his field goal percentage, all that stuff is really valuable. But don't expect him to go out there and play 29 minutes a night and go 13 and 11 with 3 steals and 6 blocks. That's not realistic. He can be streamed on and off. He can have value under certain situations, but these sort of minutes is not going to be the norm. And that's another thing that happens in, I know I've been talking a lot about the psychology of fantasy basketball and fantasy basketball players lately, but in a situation like this one, or in a situation like Tyreke Evans, people will say, oh, Ezeli's out for 6 weeks. What do we do? Well, nothing will change with the Warriors because they've been dealing with no Ezeli for the 2 weeks before that. And then, you know, three weeks ago, there was another 2 weeks without Ezeli. Same with Tyreke Evans. Evans is done. What do we do? Well, the answer there obviously is drop Evans. But in terms of the rotation, those guys who are getting value, it remains the same. It's not like one of those, oh, it happened in game, what the hell goes on now? Like Marc Gasol, these are guys who had been out and we'd seen how things had played out. And now it's just confirmation. Yeah, they're going to be out for a period of time. And people do get a little bit, not I don't know if funny is the right word, but think, oh, something is going to change because someone's been ruled out for a longer period of time. The only really impact that starts to have is where you go, look, okay, then this value is going to be solidified. Say like an Archie Goodwin, if we hear Brandon Knight's ruled out for the rest of the season, which I don't think is going to happen, Archie Goodwin will then have, you know, solid top 60, top 70 value. Whereas at the moment, it's fleeting. It's like, oh, it's here, but when's it going to end? That's the difference. So just be aware of those sort of things. When an injury has already happened and it's, you know, not, I don't think that Steve Kerr is going to go, oh, now we don't have Ezeli, even though we haven't had him for the last 2 weeks, it's better to play Bogut more minutes now because he would have just done that previously. So that's something to keep an eye on and have in your thought process when you go through this sort of stuff. The young gun of the night.
Porzingis.
Yep. Kristaps Porzingis. Played 30 minutes, had 20 points with 5 rebounds, 2 triples, 3 assists, and 3 steals. And I'm pretty sure you can guess what I'm going to say next. How's his rookie war going? I don't want to say it doesn't exist, but it is highly, highly overrated. I think in the 4 games since I've mentioned, had my rant on rookie walls, he's averaging 16 points, 2 triples, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's not rookie wallish. That's better than his seasonal average numbers. You know who Kristaps is. We've talked about him a lot on this program, and you would have known plenty about him and you've seen all the hype associated with him. This is who he is. There's going to be up and downs with a guy who's 20 years old and playing his first year in the NBA. There are going to be up and downs, but it doesn't equal rookie Wall. So what I don't want you guys doing is making panic trades. I'm like, oh, I've got to get rid of him. Rookie Wall's hit. That's what I'm trying to avoid when I have these conversations. It's not to bag anyone who says these things. It's just to get more of a perspective and to get both sides of things so panic moves don't go down. The dud of the night, he wasn't really that duddish, but he wasn't great. Klay Thompson played 35 minutes, had 13 points, which is all right. And it's one of those things, again, where you look at it and go, 13 points, that's double digits, but it's actually a negative Z score because, you know, average is about 14.5-15 points for fantasy leagues. So the number where he was actually good was below average, 13. 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and he hit no triples, had no steals, had no blocks, and went 5 of 19 from the field, and only 3 of 4 from the free throw line. Klay Thompson's been great after a really slow start to this season. This was not his best performance, and he's actually slumping at the moment. His last 3 games, he's shooting sub 40%. He hasn't had a block in those games. His assists are down to 1 a game when he's at 2.3 on the season. He's a full 3 less a game, and that's impacting his scoring. You look at his ranking for the last week, 163rd. You go, come on, that's not where we want him to be. Not saying it's a buy low, because I don't imagine people are going to be selling him and panicking. Well, it is a buy low if you can do it, but I don't imagine anyone's going to be willing to do that. But it's just worth watching if it happens for maybe another week or so. Then someone might be like, oh, let's sell off on Klay. We're trying to make the playoffs. He's done. He's tired. Whatever. People can make up all sorts of reasons for why people are struggling. It's generally not true, and you've got to take advantage of those things. So Klay Thompson was the dud of the night. Let's bring up the perfect DFS lineup for Tuesday's games. At point guard, Johnny Wall, 60.5. He is putting up fantastic numbers at the moment. Really, really solid stuff from him. At point guard, Ray Felton, 34.9. He has had a massively surprising season this year. Ray Felton last year, he just wouldn't play. I know he started a game in the playoffs, but he just didn't play basically all season last year for the Mavericks, and now he's a really key contributor under the same coaching staff, which is weird. At shooting guard, Danny Green, 34.9, and Rod Hood, 42.5. Green is heating up, and if you haven't owned him in your standard 12-team leagues, you have to, and his DFS value is on the rise as well. Rod Hood is just playing fantastically. At small forward, Carmelo Anthony, 51.6. And Kawhi Leonard, 44.8, a good return to form for Kawhi and Melo in his first game under Kurt Rambis, had a really huge performance. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge is riding a current hot streak, 40.8. You've got to keep using him while that's happening and his salary is still low. And Kristaps
Porzingis,
he's at 33.5, so a nice night from him. And at center, 43.7 for Andrew Bogut. No one could have predicted that sort of massive outbreak for him. Yes, you're playing against the Rockets, a lot of teams get a bump, but it's not necessarily the centers, it's more power forwards. But Bogut obviously played those extra minutes, and that really worked out in his favor. That total would have given you 387.2 fantasy points, which is a pretty nice haul if you can get it. All right, let's get into the box scores now. I'll bring them up on the screen for you guys to have a look at, for you guys watching along on video. There we are. All right, so let's get into these games. There were 5 of them, and then we're going to preview the 12 games on Wednesday. The first one, the Spurs versus the Heat. Kawhi, 23-9-4, 3 steals, a block, and a 3. So a very, very nice, well-rounded performance for Kawhi. The starters played extra minutes in this one, even though the game was over relatively quickly, so that always helps their fantasy value. LaMarcus Aldridge, 28-4-4 with a block. Part of the reason why his value and his play is well up at the moment is the way that he's shooting. This is a great sell-high opportunity for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's got great name recognition, and people think that he's still a top 20 fantasy asset. He's a top 60 guy this year. The last 2 weeks, he's in the top 10 because he's shooting 62% from the field. That's not all of what he's doing, but he's shooting in the last 2 weeks like 8 points above his season average. He's only grabbing 6 rebounds. It's 1.6 blocks. The free throws have been excellent all month. He's over 90%. But such a massive bump on his field goal percentage is really, really improving his value. And there's going to be times when his minutes go down and he has rest games and he's not going to shoot like this. This is a great opportunity to sell high on LaMarcus Aldridge. People still believe that he can be a really good player and they'll be like, he is turning it around. But when you look at something like that and it's on unsustainable shooting percentages, that's when alarm bells have to ring off in your head and go, he is not shooting 62% down the stretch. He's just not doing it. Nobody's doing it. He's not doing it for the next 2 months. The last 3 years, the highest he shot is 48%. He's at 50 at the moment, which is good, but he's not maintaining 62. And if he drops down from 62 down to 50%, then his overall value drops 4 or 5 rounds maybe. That's how big of an impact 62% on 15 attempts can have. It's got a Z score of over 4, which is exceptionally high. The number for him normally in the season is a Z score of 1 at 50%. So 62 down to 50, it's a big, big drop. It's a great sell high opportunity for LaMarcus Aldridge. You might not be able to pull it off, but this is one that if I do own him. I probably should go and send out some offers. So people, if you are in that league that I own LaMarcus Aldridge, don't listen to that last 5 minutes. Send out some sell high moments on LaMarcus Aldridge and see if you can pull it off. And if you do pull it off, let me know. I want to see him tweet at me or stick him on the Facebook page as well. Boban Marjanovic, 13 minutes, 11 and 6. Another nice Boban line, but he's still just restricted for deeper leagues. And Danny Green, I touched on him in the DFS section. A big game, 31 minutes, 15, 7 and 3, 2 triples, 3 steals, 1 block. This is the Danny Green who's a top 50 player. Exactly what you want. Has to be owned everywhere. 12-team leagues, a must. 10-team leagues, it's borderline, but he is really firing at the moment. And it's because his shot's coming back, his defense is coming back. It's taken 4 months. 3 months, it's taken over half of the season, but it is back, and it's been consistently back for most of January and now through February as well. Tony Parker struggled, 7-2-5 with 2 steals, and David West went 6-3-3, and he's not really doing enough starting in place of Tim Duncan to be worth looking at in standard formats. 25 minutes for Boris Diaw, 23 minutes for John Simmons, not a lot there, 9-5 for Diaw, and 10-4 for Simmons. I do really like Simmons, though. He could be a guy that down the stretch, if your league mistakenly plays until the very end of the regular season, Simmons could be a guy that starts getting 25 minutes in those last 2 to 3 games and could be a real interesting player, so he's a name to watch. On the Heat side of things, Dwayne Wade, 20 points, 5 assists and a steal. That's super efficient from him, 9 of 15 from the field, while Chris Bosh, 18-5 with a steal. I still think Bosh is a really nice buy low target. Hassan Whiteside didn't start but played 25 minutes, 14-6 with 2 blocks, shot 6 of 9, that's really good. Also elbowed Boba Marjanovic in the face. Is there a bigger dickhead in the NBA than Whiteside? I would be scared shitless, and I'm thankful because I don't think the Bulls are going to be going after him in free agency if my team ponied up $20 million plus for him in free agency. How can you be so stupid? He just does dumb shit all the time. I'm always going to remember back to what he did to Kelly Olynyk last year when he just charged at him down the lane, forearm shiver to the back of the head. Ridiculous. This one here, elbow straight in Marjanovic's face. Like, what are you doing? You've already got a reputation as a massive cock. What is possessing him? He has a lot of behavioral issues, and there's going to be concerns with him. There's definitely concerns. Well, there's already concerns now. He can't even maintain 30 minutes a night. Really going to be interesting to see what happens with him in free agency. There is zero chance he plays for the Heat next year. I am convinced. Amari Stoudemire in his start, 13 minutes, 2-8 with 2 blocks. Oh, Whiteside will probably be suspended for that, I would reckon, as well. You got a flagrant 2 and an immediate ejection. Goran Dragic, 10-6 in 31 minutes, and Luol Deng, 11 points in 26 minutes with a couple of triples. And Justice Winslow returned. He wanted to claim that title, the least with the most. 24 minutes, 2 points, and an assist. I still think that he can be a decent 12-team league guy down the last month or two of the season, but not necessarily someone who's going to blow you away. On to the Washington Wizards and the New York Knicks. Johnny Wall, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 17 assists, 3 triples, and a steal. A really big night from Johnny in the 43 minutes that he played. Big, big night. He's been fantastic this year. And Brad Beal played 32 minutes, back in the starting role, 26-3-2, 5 triples, 4 steals, 1 block. That is a fantastic performance from Beal as well. We still worry about what's going to happen with him on the back-to-backs and if he's going to get limited to 20 minutes, but 32 minutes in a start feels like where he's going to be stuck for the time being. And that's perfectly fine because he's come back playing really, really well. The injury specter does loom over him, obviously, but now you're wrapped if you're a Beal owner. Marcin Gortat back to 28 minutes, 14-10 with 2 blocks. At least there was foul trouble here. Otto Porter had 13-2-2 with 3 triples. That's a decent night, but nothing spectacular. And Jared Dudley, 31 minutes, 14 points, 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. a real under the radar guy who needs to be looked at in 12 team leagues. He's not an awesome option, but he's still pretty bloody good. In the last month, he's inside the top 80. In the last 2 months, he's inside the top 90. In the last 2 weeks, he's inside the top 60. And it's not coming from scoring. It's from exceptional three-point shooting. It's from really nice assist numbers. 3.6 over the last 2 weeks is fantastic. Great steal numbers, but super efficiency. His last 2 weeks, his last month, 52% from the field on 1.7 threes. Those numbers don't go together normally. That's a really big thing for what Dudley's doing. You do have to consider him. He has to be looked at in 12 team leagues, definitely. Nene played 17 minutes off the bench, 4 and 2. Dudley fits what they do a lot better, but they will give Nene bigger minutes at certain times. And Chris Humphries returned to play 4 minutes, which is great. 2 rebounds for Humphries in those 4 minutes. On to the Knicks. Mallow played 39 minutes, 33 and 13, 3 triples, 2 assists, 2 steals. I thought there was a big chance that Mallow went off in his first game under Kurt Rambis. It happened. I'm pretty happy with that. Robin Lopez got 27 minutes. Let's hope that's more of a trend than the 19 minutes that Fisher would sometimes give him. 14 and 8 for Lopez in 27 minutes with a block. And Langston Galloway played 29 minutes while Jose Calderon got 28. Galloway, 15, 5 and 5, 2 triples and 2 steals. I think that he's worth a short-term add in a 12-team league just to see how this rotation plays out. And Calderon stunk. 0 of 4 shooting. Did have 3 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal. He's not by any means a must-hold, but he's not like I'm just cutting for the sake of cutting sort of player. Aaron Aflalo, oddly enough, played 38 minutes, that's not odd because he's been playing a stack of minutes. He only took 7 shots and he hit 5 of them. Just wasn't involved really in the offense. We had Galloway, Porzingis and Anthony taking way more shots and Robin Lopez than Aaron Aflalo. And I'm kind of okay with that because he's just not an efficient scorer. Maybe that's what the Kurt Rambis system will do is phase him out. We can only hope. Kevin Serafin, 8, 2 and 3 in his 15 minutes. The Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Boston with a furious comeback, couldn't quite get over the line. Avery Bradley, 38 minutes, 18, 4 and 4 with 2 steals and 4 triples. A nice night from him. He's in a nice run of form at the moment, but he can be streaky. And Jay Crowder had been really down, picked up a big performance here, 18, 5 and 2 with 3 triples and 2 steals. Isaiah Thomas, not his greatest night, but that happens when you play Milwaukee. 15 points, 2 assists and 2 steals for Thomas. And Jared Sullivan, and let's get Mark, we're going to get the guards first. Marcus Smart played 21 minutes, 12, 4, and 2 with a couple of steals. Probably not as much of a must-own as he was maybe a week or so ago, but I'm not against holding him. Now the front court mess, that continues. Kelly Olynyk, 16 minutes, 15 points, 3 rebounds and a steal. Love it. Jonas Jerebko, 15 minutes, 13 and 5. That's pretty nice production. Jared Sullinger, 20 minutes, only 4 points, but 11 rebounds and 5 assists. 27 minutes for Amir Johnson, 6, 4, and 2 with 2 steals and a block. And then Tyler Zeller, the guy who'd been performing so well. Now, we're only going to give him 10 minutes here and play 4 and go 4, 2, and 1. So Boston, again, running with a 5-man big rotation, which is just super frustrating. Sullinger's a guy for standard leagues. Olynyk and Johnson are borderline at the moment. Zeller, yeah, whatever, maybe add him, but this is Brad Stevens. If a rotation can be made with the big men, it's going to be made. You've got to look for guys who can produce in limited time, and those two that stand out are Sullinger and Olynyk, but by no means do I have massive confidence in them being great players moving forward this season or anything like that. Plus, there's always the rumor that there's going to be a trade in Boston to really shake things up, so keep an eye on that. Now, Jason Kidd, our favorite coach, made what I can only call as a what-are-you-doing move. Before the game, out of nowhere, Kidd has gone, now we're going to change the lineup. We're going to put Greg Monroe to the bench, and we're going to put Michael Carter-Williams to the bench. Cool. In their place, we're going to start OJ Mayo, who's missed the last 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. Thanks, OJ, you're back. You can just go straight in as a point guard, which he's not a point guard. He can go and start there, and let's start Miles Plumlee at center. It's hard to argue because they won, and you feel like a real dick saying, well, you don't know what you're doing, kid, but what are you doing? Why, what does this mean? What does this, how does this make sense to move these guys? And he comes out with his quote saying, we're going to play them the same, if not more minutes. Well, he didn't. I think he played them 3 minutes less each over their recent averages. And that's pretty much going to happen all the time when you move a guy to the bench. It happened with Oladipo in Orlando. Instead of playing 34 minutes, he played 30 minutes. Nick Carter-Williams here played 26 minutes, went 16, 6, and 5. That's a good return from him. Monroe played 30 minutes, less than 30, 29 and 12 with a steal and two blocks. So they had good production. But just look, and you're fine. If they continue to play 30 minutes and 28 minutes off the bench, it doesn't mean anything. But I just feel the kid does things for the sake of doing them. And why are you playing OJ Mayo as a starting point guard? He's just not a point guard. He did have six assists, yeah, but he did not much else. A very, very weird decision from Jason Kidd. Let's see what happens. You don't make any changes based on this. We're not going and grabbing OJ Mayo. We're definitely not grabbing Miles Plumlee. We're not dropping Michael Carter-Williams, not dropping Greg Monroe. It's just a very weird situation to see these sort of moves. And look, I always say play your best players. It doesn't necessarily mean start your best players, but play your best players the most minutes. And that's what he did. So it's very hard to be upset at that sort of thing. But it was a confusing one. And it's also confusing because it is going to limit these guys to a degree. They're going to play 2-3 minutes less per game. And that, to me, if it means giving an extra 2 minutes to Miles Plumlee or an extra 2 minutes to OJ Mayo, is not an optimal outcome for a team. Onto the actual game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 14-3 with 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. A good all-round performance from him. And Jared Bayless played 32 minutes, the most out of all the guards, which that's something that pisses me off. 14 points with 2 assists and 4 threes for Bayless. He is really approaching, not must-own, but really heavily consider-own in 12-team leagues. I think I added him in one yesterday. Chrissy Middleton, 25-5 with 2 triples in 38 minutes. He's dropped off a bit from his scorching hot run in January, but still, yeah, a really solid player. And Jabari Parker wasn't good. 27 minutes for Jabari, 10-3-2 with a steal. He will generally be better than that, but not hasn't been a good run for him of late. The Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks, pretty good game to watch this one. It went to overtime. Rudy Gobert, 14-10 with a block on 5 of 6 shooting. That's a pretty nice return there. And Derek Favors, 16-8-6 with a steal. Good performances from these guys. What about Gordy Hayward? The wings on this team are fantastic. 45 minutes for Gordo, 25-4, 1 steal. Love Hayward. And I also love me some Rod. Rod Hood, 43 minutes, 29-5-5, 2 triples. He took 26 shots. He hit 12 of them. He is, I mentioned the other day about the 2014 draft and where he would be drafted. I said maybe he's a top 5 player from that draft, and then I was hesitant. He is a top 5 player from that draft. He looks incredibly good. He's ball handling, he's distributing. Alec Burks is going to come back, but they're not taking a role away from Hood. He has settled into this role, and he is a key figure of this team. He hit the three to tie this game up to go into overtime, which was a tremendous shot. He is a really key figure for this team, and I love what he brings in the future on this. They've got an abundance of players that I like on the Jazz. And Chris Johnson played 21 minutes, 7 boards, a triple, and a block. He's a real deep league sort of character. And Harl Netto only played the 19 minutes here, even with Trey Burke out. They gave Eric Green 12 minutes, and then they ran, you know, Hood and Hayward handling the ball for a lot of the time as well. So Neto, I thought he'd be in line for 30 minutes. He'd played 30-plus minutes the 2 games previous. Didn't happen here because of fouls mainly. So you'd expect that in the next game with Burke out, he'll still go back to getting those, you know, pretty big minutes. 8 points, 2 assists, and a steal. He's probably more of a 12-team league sort of player, though. And Trey Lyles had 11 points in his 14 minutes. On the Mavericks, no Devin Harris. And Ray Felton, I can't believe how good he's been this year. 17-7-5 with a 3 and a steal. Continues to put up numbers. He is not a 12-team league guy, but when Harris is out, he has to be considered. He's 125th over the last 2 weeks, which is not a must-own 12-team league guy, but 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal, a 3, 12 points, 81% from the free throw line. It can be used by people. It's got to fit sort of what you need to do. And it's not going to be a long-term thing, but when he gets an opportunity, he's producing almost every time. Darren Williams, 23 points with 5 assists in 42 minutes. Chandler Parsons had 24 points with a steal and a block in his 36. And Dirk went 17-9 in 40 minutes. So a big outing from the Mavericks legend there. Wes Matthews played 42 minutes, so minutes aren't a problem for him. And he was okay, 16-2-3 with 2 triples, but really, really struggling this season. And Zaza Pachulia, only the 7 points, but 11 rebounds and 5 assists. And that's where his value comes in as a center, ability to get assists and his big rebounding numbers this season. The last game of the night was the Rockets and the Warriors. Trevor Reza, 19-7, 2 steals and 4 threes. Really putting together some nice numbers over the 2016 portion of this season. Patrick Beverley, 7-4-7 with 2 steals. Not a must-own guy, but has to be looked at in 12-team formats, and Corey Brewer is not someone I want for 12-teamers. 9-5-2 despite his starting status, and Dwight went 16-15, had himself a block, went 7-12 from the field, but 2-10 from the free throw line, takes his overall ranking down when you're looking on Basketball Monster. But we all know that if you're drafting Dwight, you're punting free throws, so you can bump him up a fair bit there. After a couple of games in a row of Josh Smith getting 20 minutes, that's now two in a row where he's got 9, 3 points, 3 assists. You can do better in 12-team leagues. And Ty Lawson, you couldn't do worse than Ty Lawson, to be honest. 16 minutes for him, 1 assist, and missed all 4 of his shots, and he was something like a minus 22. He's just really bad now, and I don't know exactly what it is. Marcus Thornton had a decent line, a triple one, with 15 points and 3 assists in 25 minutes, but he's too streaky to even look at in even DFS, really. And although he's sometimes worth a punt in a GPP there, but for standard 12-team leagues or even 14-team leagues, he's too up and down. Steph Curry played 38 minutes. He was on fire to start the game, hit 6 triples in the first quarter, including some ridiculous way back ones, 35-5-9, 7 triples and a steal for the game. Quietened off after a hot first quarter, but still, that's a pretty big line that you would take. Andre Iguodala played 31 minutes, 12-6-6. He's putting up some bigger lines recently, but still probably not 12-team league guy that I look at. And Harry Barnes with one of his better performances, 19-7, 2 triples and 2 assists. Still, he's still a take-it-or-leave-it sort of guy for me. Draymond Green struggled, 8-9-5 in 32 minutes, and Maurice Spates chimed in with 15 points in his 12 minutes off the bench. All right, time for a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview the 12 games from Wednesday. We're going to have a quick word from our sponsors, and then we're going to be in for a song so I can catch my breath and transition into Wednesday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now, me and the sky run.
Of options to look at when building your lineups. There's going to be, I think, some pretty high scores going down as well, and lots of choices that need to be made. So let's get into these games and start looking at where we can try and obtain value across this 12-game massive slate. The last big day before we head into the All-Star break, I think on Thursday, there's only the two games. Quick heads up of what we're going to be doing with the podcast as well. Going to have one tomorrow, obviously, reviewing all these 12 games and doing a preview of Thursday's games. But for Friday, there will be no show at this point. Unless I change my mind, there's going to be no show. I'm not going to do a show just to review two games with no DFS action. Then hopefully in the next couple of days, we'll have a couple of podcasts come out across the weekend and then some other content throughout the week. But as of now, for Friday, it doesn't appear like there'll be a show out there. There might be a Friday night show. We'll see about that. But at this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be a Friday show. First game, the Sacramento Kings and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Kings, yesterday, I said at this point, as recording, by the time you listen to this, George Karl might be fired. That was the news. Karl's gone, he's gone, he's finished. Next minute, nah, we're good. Everything's good now. He's staying. This team is a real mess. I don't know what happens now. He's staying, yeah, but in 2 weeks' time, he might be gone. Anyway, for a fantasy point of view, nothing's changing. It's just a really weird situation. Ben McLemore's the guy we need to look at. He is questionable with a wrist injury. He's not going to really impact too much DFS-wise. Let's have a look at the point guard position here. 7,000 for Ish Smith. You love the matchup going up against Sacramento. It's a really, really tasty matchup. He dropped 36 in his last game, the first game back from an ankle problem. You feel pretty confident that he can get close to 35 points in this one. So I reckon Ish Smith's a nice play. In fact, his point guard, TJ McConnell, is even worth a look. He's at $3,900. That's not a big salary. The point guards that play against the Kings get such a big bump. He's a guy that's going to be a 4 to 5 assist guy, maybe get 2 steals, maybe hit a 3 or 2. McConnell's at $3,900 is not a terrible punt option. There can be some bad games, but he can put up some decent sort of performances. He's a guy that I wouldn't want to use in cash, but I don't mind in a tournament if Smith has an off night and McConnell gets going. Even in 20 minutes, I think he can be productive. Over his last 5 games, he's averaging 18 points in 21 minutes. In his last 3 games, he's averaging 20 points in 22 minutes. So these numbers are all, they're okay. And you think that with the bump you can get against Sacramento, he might be worth a look. I would probably rather spend up myself personally and use bigger money plays at point guard. But if you want to go with a cheap one to fit some other guys in, he's worth a look. Isaiah Cannon's been struggling also, but he is another guy you can look at $3,700, even cheaper than McConnell, who can get hot and in a tournament really can go for 30 points easily. Rajon Rondo is at $8,800. That salary keeps going up. It is so exorbitant now. $8,800 is massive, but I don't hate using Rondo here. He's averaging 45 across his last 3. $8,800, he needs to get to around 45, and you feel like he's got a pretty decent chance of doing so. Darren Collison at $4,800, he's also in the boat of maybe this is going to happen. Maybe he gets 25, 26 points, especially if Ben McLemore's out and he has to play a little bit more too. So at the point guard spot in this game, Smith, McConnell, Cannon, Collison, Rondo, all of them have stakes to be included into a lineup. You could throw them all into your optimizers or your player pool or whatever you want to do with them. They're all worth looking at. Marco Ballinelli is at $3,900. He stunk in the last game, but in a tournament, this is a nice, easy matchup for him. The minutes have been through the roof lately, averaging 34 across his last 5, and he can go for 25 plus relatively easily if his shot falls down. I like using Ballinelli here. Not much else to look at. We don't want to use Nick Stauskas coming off that neck problem and the fact that he's shit. And Ben McLemore is injured too, so not much there. Although Stauskas, maybe there's some revenge game factor there. I don't think he's good enough for that to have much of an impact though. The small forward position, Bob Cove is at $4,700. The salary keeps dropping. The production's not ideal, but this is, in terms of ease, it's a great matchup for Bob. He is not someone I would be touching in a cash game, but in a tournament, absolutely, because we know that he can go for 50 points. That's how big that Bob Cove can go. And at $4,700, if he goes for 50, that's tremendous, tremendous value. Hollis Thompson at $3,500, he still remains minimum salary because that's who he is. He's a minimum salary, minimum player. And $7,100 for Rudy Gay. And not using him in a cash game, his form has been a little bit down of late. Only 24 points or 23 points in the last game in 27 minutes. Not a guy I'm too keen on using. $5,200 for Omri Caspi. No, I reckon I'd probably steer clear there as well. The power forward spot, we've got Willie Cauley-Stein at $4,400. I'm pretty sure you can do better. The salary's not bad though, but I reckon he's just, I don't know, there's just not enough upside there with him at the moment, and he gets jerked around by George Karl quite a bit. Nerlens Noel is at $6,900. This is a great spot for power forwards. Noel does not require scoring. This is all about block shots and steals. He could be a 2.5 steal, 2.5 block guy for stretches. And could he get to, he could have one of those nights where he goes 3 and 4 or something like that here against the Kings, because they do allow boosts in those steals and block categories to power forwards. So he is definitely worth a look here. His minimum score over his last 5 is 23.6. That's not too bad at $6,900. He's an okay guy to invest in. And Jeremy Grant's been playing a little bit better lately. He's not a guy that I'm overly keen on when Noel and Okafor plays, but he dropped 34 in the last game. He's got a 23 average across the last 5, and at 5,000, it's not horrible to think about him in a tournament, but he's probably not a guy that I would pay massive amount of attention to. At center, Boogie Cousins, he's down under 11,000. He's at 10,600. He's taking on the Sixers. You feel like with all the drama that's going down, we could see a big Boogie Cousins game going on here. 50 points is, 55 points is definitely where he can go. That's our projections. Really love him here. I think this is a massive spot for Boogie. $6,400 for Jahlil Okafor. Yeah, look, he's got a really good matchup too. Not bad. A 31 average across his last 3 is pretty solid, but I'm not overly thrilled with using Jahlil in this one. The San Antonio Spurs and the Orlando Magic, this doesn't look ideal on paper. The Spurs are favored by 7.5 points. The total is 201. Toby Harris is nursing a swollen left eye. and had some ankle problems as well. Timmy Duncan is questionable for the Spurs, and Matt Bonner and Kyle Anderson are also both questionable. They don't impact things. Duncan, we wouldn't be using him anyway, and Toby Harris is the guy to have a look at, because if Harris is out, then Evan Fournier comes into play as a much better option. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton's been playing fantastically lately, averaging almost 29 points across the last three at 5,700. But against the Spurs, I'm not all that keen on using him. Definitely don't want any piece of Tony Parker, and no thanks with Patty Mills. At shooting guard, Vic Oladipo, Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard's on him. That means it's a pretty much a no-go zone for me. He's only averaging 27 across the last three anyway. We'll leave that alone. 4,200 for Danny Green, I'm all for it. He dropped 35 in today's action. He's averaging 24 across his last five, and at 4,200, I feel like he's a pretty solid bet to get close to 5x value. Evan Fournier, if Harris is out, he's at 5,000. He did only put up 30 points, even though the game, the performance looked pretty decent. And then he's got to take on Green, and he's got to take on Kawhi Leonard. There's a chance he could push through that and be decent at not an expensive salary, but the matchup really isn't all that enticing. At small forward, wouldn't be using Toby Harris, even if he played. And Kawhi Leonard at 6,300, there's massive blowout risk in this one. It's a back-to-back. The Pop could limit the Spurs guys here, especially after he played 33 minutes in today's game against the Heat. Not really loving using Kawhi here. Mario Hezonja is a tournament-only guy. In the overtime game the Magic played the other day, he played 32 minutes and went for 27 points. That's great, and he's at 3,700, but you need to predict this game going to overtime, and reckon that's a bit of a stretch to get to that. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge, 7,300. I reckon he's going to be very chalky. Lots of people are going to be having him. This is a great spot for me to fade him. Back-to-back game, minutes might be limited. The red-hot shooting, as I mentioned before, maybe that cools off. Not sure this is a great spot to use him. Normally, I'd love using Aaron Gordon against him, but the Spurs just destroy opposition power forwards. And Gordon is now up to 5,800, so his salary has risen. So you need to feel like you're going to get close to 30 points from him, and I just don't in this sort of matchup. I could be wrong, but I'd rather not take that risk. I'd maybe throw him into a tournament, but yeah, cash game, no chance. David West, who will likely start if Tim Duncan's out. I don't want anything to do with him, nor Boris Diaw and Jason Smith and Channing Frye. I think we can forget about those guys. At center, Nikola Vucevic, 8,200. If Duncan doesn't play, the defense is not really a concern for the Spurs. They haven't been defending centers all that well in terms of the fantasy points that have been happening. He dropped 54 in the last game. He's averaging 39 across the last three. His salary is pretty expensive, so that's a little bit of a turn off there. But otherwise, you feel like you should get 40 points out of Nick Vucevic on, maybe not 40, maybe 37 is a better region to aim for, and that's not bad. If Duncan is out, Boban Marjanovic, this could be a blowout. Could Boban get 20 minutes, 18 minutes? He dropped 19 in 13 minutes today, and he's at minimum salary. He's a tournament guy only, though, obviously. The Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 4. The total here is 200 points. Injury-wise, not much we need to pay attention to, so that's awesome. At point guard, George Hill at 5,900. Not loving it. The matchup's okay for him, but George Hill, I don't know, he's not bad. He's okay-ish, but it's not really doing it for me DFS-wise. Kemba Walker, on the other hand, is awesome. 54 points in the last game, averaging 43 across his last three. Some big games there, but you've got to pay up exceptionally. 8,700 for him is a lot to pay up, and against Indiana's defense, which is pretty good, I don't want to do that. At shooting guards, Nick Batum has been on fire. He's at 7,000. He's moved from small forward to shooting guard, so be aware of that. On FanDuel, he's now a shooting guard option, and at 7,000, averaging 46 across his last three games, the minutes will be up. I love him here. Yes, the Pacers are good defensively against shooting guards, but I'm not concerned. I think that Batum is a great option yet again. He might let us down because he's been awesome over the last three games, but at 7,000, the salary is still not high enough to totally dissuade me from using him. Monte Ellis at 6,300, not getting it done at all lately. The other shooting guards here listed, Jeremy Lamb, Jeremy Lin, they're not guys that I want to have too, I don't have anything to do with them, to be honest. And Mighty Joe Young is a minimum salary guy from the Pacers, but no thanks. We're not getting too involved with him. Onto the small forwards. Paul George is at 8,700. I really like Paul George here. This is a nice matchup for him. He's averaging 43 across the last three. At 8,700, I feel pretty confident that he can get close to 40 points here and easily exceed that. And he's got 50-point upside, obviously. And Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, on the other side of things, that's the only concern I have with George, is he's going to have Kidd-Gilchrist on him. And Kidd-Gilchrist, we know, can be an elite defender. So there is, it makes me slightly hesitant, but I still think that Paul George at his price is a decent guy to have a look at on the small forward spot. Now, Kidd-Gilchrist put up 32 in the last game. He's now hitting threes all of a sudden. He's at 5,600. Don't really think I want to use him at that sort of salary. Onto the power forwards. Miles Turner is up at 5,700. It's not too expensive for me. You feel like you can get that out of him pretty comfortably, 5x return. So yeah, he's a guy that's fine to use. 4,600 for Cody Zeller. Not a good matchup. We'll leave him out of it. Frank Kaminsky, same thing. Marv Williams at 5,800. Again, not a positive matchup for Marvin, but a 28 or 30 average across his last five means he has to be in consideration. You have to look at him because form is definitely going with him, but the matchup is not great. So that might be a reason to steer clear. At center, Yan Mihinmi at 4,700. At 4,700, if he gives you 25 points, he's done his job easily. But I don't really trust him to do it here. Not using Jordan Hill, nor using Spencer Hawes. The next game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Boston Celtics, the Doc Rivers Bowl. The Celtics are favored by 1.5, and the total is 209 points in this one. Paul Pierce, who rested the last game, you would imagine that he was going to be back for this one. He doesn't have much of an impact on us fantasy-wise, except that he might reduce Wesley Johnson's minutes, which might have an impact in terms of being able to use him. Now, point guards going up against the Clippers, not a good spot. Point guards going up against the Celtics, not a good spot. So, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, Marcus Smart, none of these matchups look really appealing. 8,000 for Isaiah Thomas. He's just not hitting anywhere near that sort of number recently. No thanks. Chris Paul's at 9,500. He's a bit more appealing. Yes, you got to pay more, but his production has been a lot better, averaging 38 points across the last five games. But I'm not all that sure that I want to spend up for him in this matchup. And Marcus Smart hasn't been providing it lately. So he's a guy that I think we can leave alone. Maybe if you just think that he's going to do something out of the blue that, maybe you throw him into a tournament, but I don't really think that that's a route that I'd be wanting to go down. At shooting guard, Jamal Crawford's now at 5,000, but that's not enough to turn me off him. He's been putting up big, big numbers lately in big minutes as well, and that's important that the minutes are there and it's leading to production. Yes, he's got a bit of bust potential, but his lowest score in his last five is 23. And at 5,000, that's almost 5x value. He is one of the better shooting guard plays on the board. Don't mind JJ Redick at 4,900 as well, but he hasn't been producing quite to the same level that Crawford has recently. And the most expensive shooting guard in the game is Avery Bradley. He's at 5,700. His production hasn't been as good as Crawford, so I'd rather save the 700 bucks and go with Jamal Crawford, although he's probably a little bit more risky, but of late, he hasn't been. He's actually been more consistent. At small forward, Wes Johnson's at 4,400. If Paul Pierce is out, I feel more confident with using him. I'm not overly confident with any of these guys on the Clipper side anyway. Jay Crowder at 5,700. Yes, he had a good game today, but previous to that had been struggling, and it is a back-to-back, and if his ankle's acting up, it might not be a good spot for him. Evan Turner is at 5,900. He's averaging 32 across the last five. A negative matchup. He's not a terrible guy to use, but I don't think that I'd be getting all that excited about using him. At power forward with the Celtics, we know what the situation is. Throw him into a tournament and maybe hope. And the Clippers do not have a power forward on their roster, so not much to really talk about there. And the centers, DeAndre Jordan, really tasty matchup going up against the Celtics here, but his price is big. It's 8,500. Does that mean that you shouldn't use him? No, it doesn't. His lowest score across his last five has been 33 points. That's really good. He's had a 56-point game in that stretch as well. At 8,500, you feel like he can go for 45 points pretty comfortably. So I'm all for using DeAndre Jordan. As for Kelly Olynyk and Tyler Zeller, you can throw him into a tournament, but I would probably go in a different direction because the five-man, big-man rotation is just not working for us from a fantasy point of view. Memphis and Brooklyn, the Marc Gasol-less Memphis are favored by 3.5, and the total is 197. A couple of injuries in Brooklyn that aren't really big impacts. Thomas Robinson is dealing with a toe problem, and Sergei Karasev is ill. they're not having much of an impact on us. Mike Conley gets the added usage with Gasol out. He gets to play Shane Larkin and Donald Sloan, and he's priced at 6,700. He dropped 33 in the last game. I reckon that Conley's in a pretty good spot here. The Nets are a great point guard team to go up against. Conley's going to have that extra responsibility. I think that at 6,700, he is definitely someone to look at and can be considered. As for the Nets guys, Larkin and Sloan, 3,900 for Larkin, 4,300 for Sloan. Not against Memphis, and not given how bad they are. At shooting guard, don't like the Memphis options here. Courtney Lee and Tony Allen. The salaries are appealing. The production is terrible. Markel Brown at 3,800 for the Nets. I could throw him into a tournament. He's impressed in his last two games. I don't love him as a player, but his competition is Bojan Bogdanovic and Wayne Ellington, guys who I love even less. And at 3,800, he put up 25 in the last game. That's tremendous value. He could have worked himself into a 20-minute role, and that could be something that you could exploit at 3,800. The small forward spot on the Nets. Hang on, I missed Joe Johnson in the shooting guards. Better go back and talk about him. There we go. Joe Johnson. Is it 5,700? Yeah, he's been playing well, definitely. He's had a bit of a dud mixed in there, but and some massive games. At 5,700, though, I'm not all that keen in using Joe Johnson, especially against the Grizzlies. Now, Jeff Green should get extra usage for the small forwards. He's at 5,600. Matt Barnes is at 5,000. Both these guys come into play. They've both got really positive matchups. I think that Green is the guy that I prefer here. He can score in big bunches, and he's going to have an increased usage rate as well. So I think he's the guy to look at. On the Nets side of things, Bojan Bogdanovic, 3,600, maybe into a tournament, and he gets hot and hits a couple of threes, but that's a real long shot. At power forward, love Zach Randolph here. He's at 6,300. He played 40 minutes in the last game, some of them at center, dropped 42 points. He's averaging 32 across the last three. Extra minutes, playing at center. Real positive matchup here for Randolph. Love him. Thad Young at 7,000, he's also under consideration. A 39-point average across his last three, not as great a matchup. I would rather spend the 700 less and use Zach Randolph. That feels like a no-brainer to me. But he's been playing well, and he is worth looking at. Now, Ryan Hollins is at 3,500. Maybe Dave Yeager goes, go and play 25 minutes, Hollins. I'd be a bit doubtful of that, but he's definitely worth throwing into a tournament and seeing, because at minimum salary, if he puts up 20 points, or if he goes and blocks three shots and grabs eight rebounds in 25 minutes, you're almost at the value that you need to be. So he's worth having a look at. The other crap at the power forward spot is not worth mentioning. For centers, Brook Lopez, really bad ease ranking when you look at Memphis, but there's no Marc Gasol now. So Lopez at 8,400, I'd consider it. But he has been a little bit subpar lately, only averaging 28.9 across the last three. And at 8,400, that's just not going to cut it. No one else to really talk about big man-wise in this one. The Denver Nuggets is the next game, and the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are favored by 5.5. We've got a total of 208, and Jameer Nelson is considered questionable with that wrist problem he's been dealing with. For the point guards, Reggie Jackson. He's at 6,600. The projections really love him here. His recent form hasn't been good, though, so I would use him only in a tournament. Definitely wouldn't be looking at him in cash games. The production just hasn't been there. But also, playing against the Nuggets, it's a great spot, and the defense for the Nuggets is not fantastic. So he is worth paying somewhat some attention to. 5,600 for Emmanuel Mudiay. Dropped 31, or averaging 31 across the last three, had a 26-point game. I reckon he is a fairly solid cash game guy if you want that mid-tier player. Yes, he's going to hurt you in standard leagues, but in DFS, it's not going to be too much of an impact. At shooting guard, got a couple of pretty decent options to look at here. Or guys, not necessarily decent options, but guys to consider. Gary Harris at 4,600. The minutes have been up. The production hasn't been. The 27 points he got in the last game was nice, but there's no trust in using him. And same with Will Barton. It's very hard to trust him, especially at 6,000. He's a guy that I probably will be steering clear of. Randy Foye at minimum salary is worth a look. He's at 3,500. He'll play some backup point guard. He's had a 30-point game in the last five, and at 3,500, that's super valuable. He's also had a 4-point game, so that means we restrict him to tournaments only. Darren Hilliard also had a big game in the last one. He's at 3,600. I feel like his ceiling is capped, though, so he's not going to have 9x, 10x upside like Foy can if he gets hot and plays minutes over Mudiay and play at the 2 as well. At small forward, 4,900, Stan Johnson. bit of a stinker in the last game. Maybe people get off him. He'd been fantastic before that. At less than 5,000, I love using him. 7,200 for Danilo Gallinari on the opposite side of things. He's averaging 37 across the last three, scoring really, really well. 7,200 as a price tag doesn't scare me off too much. He has to be looked at. And Marcus Morris at 5,600, playing a lot better recently, averaging 27 across the last five. That is not a bad salary. He's been pretty consistent. Five-game min-max, 23 and 34. That's not too bad. He's not going to be a great tournament option, but he can be a low-priced small forward option in a cash game. Still prefer Stan Johnson for less salary, though. At power forward, Ken Faried at 6,300. The Pistons notoriously shut down opposition power forwards. Faried is very up and down. He had a big game in the last one, Ken, but yeah, prior to that, his last five, he's only averaging 27, and he put up 43 in that last game, so that's factored into those five games. Not really a guy that I'm too keen on using. Ersan Ilyasova at 4,800. The Pistons guys shut down opposition big men. The Nuggets just let them do whatever they want. So Ilyasova in a tournament, he has got 30-point upside at 4,800. He has to be someone that you do have a look at, because if he gets hot and puts up numbers, it's a great spot for him to do it. Definitely no cash game, not a cash game fancy of mine. The centers. Andre Drummond is 8,200, has underperformed lately. He's only averaging 34 across his last five, and at 8,200, you want him to do more than that. The Nuggets give him that opportunity. He is worth looking at. Nikola Jokic has been restricted by shoulder injuries, by playing time, and his recent production hasn't been great. He's only at 5,900. That makes him a little bit risky to me in a cash game. In a tournament, there's 50-point upside in Nikola Jokic, so you can use him at that sort of salary. Yusuf Nurkic, Joffrey Lavernier, don't want to really throw them out despite their minimum salary status. Just don't think that they're good enough to... I do think that Nurkic is good enough. I just don't think that he's in a good enough frame of mind or a state of or position at the moment to really take advantage of that low salary. The Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. The Hawks are favored by 3, and the total is 203 points. The Hawks, surrounded by so much controversy with players potentially moving and all that sort of stuff. Let's see if it affects them. Derrick Rose is back. He's probable to be back with general soreness. He missed the last game. He should be ready to go. And I think that with Butler out, Rose will make a really nice DFS option. He's at 6,900, so under 7. He's averaging 43 across his last three games. I reckon he's a big chance to go for another 40 in this game. Like using Derrick Rose a lot here. Jeff Teague at 6,300. For as well as he's played, his DFS numbers haven't really reflected that sort of play. And with the uncertainty there, I'm not using him, not using Dennis Schroeder either at 4,500. He'd be more of a guy that, hey, if he was at 3,600, then I would look at him. The shooting guards, Etuan Moore at 4,200, probably the best cheap shooting guard option on the board. He's averaging over 21 points in the last three games, which doesn't seem fantastic, but he has had a 39-point mixed in his last five, and he's just been solid value. Kyle Korver at 4,000, he's looking a lot better lately. He is definitely worth a look against a Chicago team that does allow shooting guards to go pretty big. So Korver is worth a look in a tournament. Wouldn't trust him in a cash game. Tony Snell, Tim Hardaway. Let those two just duke it out with each other, and let's not bother ourselves with that. Kent Bazemore at 5,400. Really, really like him here. That's not a big salary. He's averaging over 30 the last three games. A really positive matchup. Really like using Kent Bazemore here. Mike Dunleavy, Doug McDermott, really low salaries. Don't really want to use them. I just don't think the upside is there to justify spending that sort of, it's not much money, but hey, taking that roster spot. At power forward, Bob Portis at 3,800. Yeah, look, the salary is nice. And the 18-point average across the last five is okay, but I don't want to use him really. And Taj Gibson at 5,300 hasn't been living up to expectations of late either. The guy that I do want at power forward plays for the other team. Paul Millsap's at 8,100. He's averaging 41 points across the last three. He dropped 51 against the Magic, and now he gets an easier matchup. Easier than the Magic, yes, in the Bulls. This has got 45 to 50-point upside written all over it with Paul Millsap. His mate, Al Horford, as the center, he's got a great matchup too. He's at 7,300. Not expensive. 43 in the last game. 37.5 average across his last three. Perfect matchup for him. And then on the other side of things, Pau Gasol, he's got a pretty tasty matchup as well. No Jimmy Butler. 9,100 is expensive, but 45 points for Pau Gasol, he does it relatively comfortably. And as I mentioned the other day, you don't need 5x necessarily out of your high price guys. 4.5 is enough, and he can easily just go 42 points and do it sitting on his head. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This has got potential to be really ugly. The Cavs are favored by 15.5, and the total is 207.5 points. Roy Hibbert is probable with his ankle problem, and Kobe Bryant is questionable with his shoulder. You would imagine that Kobe would want to go and play in Cleveland one more time, so I don't think there's much risk in Kobe sitting at this one unless something drastic happens. At point guard, Jordan Clarkson, 5,600. Don't love it. Kyrie at 7,600. Adore it if we knew that this game would be close. I don't know that. I can't. Everything would tell me no, it's not going to be close. The Lakers traveling to Cleveland, they're shit. They're useless. Irving at 7,600. At 6,900, which he was about a week ago, I'd be happy with it because I think that he could bring that in 27 minutes. We don't know what sort of playing time he's going to get, but I imagine that him and LeBron will see a bit of a number chopped off their overall minutes for the game. So that 7,600, he definitely has risk involved. 5,100 for D'Angelo Russell, definitely playing a lot better lately. Irving and the Cavs, backcourt defense is not a big deterrent. The biggest deterrent is his coach. Let's see if he gets some extra run. 5,100 for Russell, maybe in a tournament, but couldn't trust it in a cash game situation. At shooting guard, I'm not really worried about J.R. Smith resting, so I think he's a good matchup. He's at 5,500. This matchup is beautiful for him. 30 points is beckoning. He probably won't get there, but that's where his upside lies. So at 5,500, that's worth looking at. Lou Williams is not doing anything of late. 5,300, leave him alone. Same with Iman Shumpert and Kobe. What do we do with Kobe? He's at 6,700. This is not a good matchup for him. The shot hasn't been falling for the last game and a bit. He had that really strong run, but when the shot's not falling, a lot else falls off for Kobe. And at 6,700, do you have confidence that he could get for 32, 33 points? I don't think that I do. LeBron James, I would love using him here at 10,200. It's not a big salary. The matchup's perfect. But what happens to the minutes? Does he play less minutes? Now, in his last game against the Kings, he put up 50 points in 31 minutes. That wasn't a concern. I'm not massively concerned with LeBron. His lowest score in his last five has been 42. I would still feel pretty confident with using him, but there is a risk factor. In a game earlier this season against the Magic, he played 27 minutes, and that really dropped off his value. So there is that risk involved. It's not enough to make me completely steer clear of him in cash, though. At power forward, Tristan Thompson is a tournament option. He's at 4,500. The matchup loves him. The projections love him. His recent form doesn't love it, but he's worth having a look at. Kevin Love at 7,300. I think he's going to fall victim to the minute restriction as well. And his form in the last couple has been a little bit down. Julius Randle's at 6,600. The matchup is not great against the Cavs. They do restrict power forwards pretty well. He's been putting up big, big numbers there, but his salary has risen to match. So probably a spot where I fade Julius Randle. The centers, Roy Hibbert, even if he plays, yeah, good one. Timofey Mozgov has interest, though. A positive matchup. He's at 3,500. What if the game is a blowout? Mozgov has played over 20 minutes in the last two games. Hasn't done much with it, but we know that he does have that breakout potential happening. And by breakout potential, he might go for 15 and 8 in 15 minutes. He can do that. It's strictly a tournament play. He's a minimum salary guy to look at, but he's not a guy to completely just dismiss offhand. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Utah Jazz. The Pelicans are favored by 2, and the total is 193. I don't know why the Pelicans are favored by 2. I guess it's an overtime game, a back-to-back for the Utah, traveling on the road. The Pelicans have been playing a little bit better, so that looks it looks weird, but when you think about it, okay, maybe this is a sneaky game here for Utah. At the point guard spot, let's have a look at this one. We know that Tyreek is out, obviously, for New Orleans, so we've got two options. Norris Cole is at 5,100. For as good as he can be, he's also not good. His average over his last three is 21 points. That's not enough at 5,000. Over the last five, it's 26. He's right there. He's an okay guy, but by no means is he a must play. 7,400 for Drew Holiday. A lot keener of using him if it wasn't against the Jazz, who do restrict opposition point guards. He dropped 53 in the last one, Drew. He's averaging over 32 across the last five, but the matchup sort of dictates that I don't want to use him. Hull Neto, I'd maybe throw into a tournament at 3,800, but I'm not really keen at that because the Pelicans have been shutting down point guards recently as well. Rod Hood at 5,800, just been killing numbers lately. Averaging 35 across the last three, dropped another 43 today. At 5,800, you feel like you it's almost a no-lose situation to put Hood out there. Bryce DeJean Jones, 3,500, min salary. He has had a 32-point game in his last five, so that means in tournaments you have to look at him. But since that game, he's basically done nothing. No one else that's really really worth our time. At small forward, Gordie Haywood is the big name here for the Jazz. He's at 7,900, so under 8,000. That's getting more appealing. But for as big as his games have been, there haven't been great DFS numbers, only averaging 33.5 across the last five. He put up another 33 today. It's just not something that I want to get involved with. At power forward, Tony Davis is at 10,200. Terrible matchup for him, but it doesn't mean he's not completely matchup proof, but he's close to it. You can still consider using him. Derek Favors at 7,300. Maybe, but not loving it here either. And Trevor Booker and Trey Lyles, we can leave those guys alone out of our rosters. At center, Rudy Gobert at 7,500. Great matchup here. 7,500, that the salary has risen. He's averaging beautiful 38 points across the last three, but that's almost where he needs to be. To get 5x value, he needs to be at 38 points, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to do it. We're obviously not going to invest in too much in Omar Asik or Alexi Ajinsa. The Toronto Raptors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Raptors are favored by 6.5, and the total here is 207 points. Kevin Garnett is doubtful. Nikola Pekovic is doubtful, and Kevin Martin is questionable. While James Johnson, I don't think we're going to be seeing him out there for the Raptors, which has been status quo for both these teams for about the last week. At point guard, Kyle Lowry at 8,900. This is a real positive matchup for him. I think that this is a great spot to use Kyle Lowry at 8,900, one of the better high-priced point guards on the board. His backup, Corey Joseph, is going to play some minutes on the wing as well. He's at 4,000. Don't love it. And 6,800 for Rick Rubio. At 6,800, can he get for 32 points? Well, his average hasn't been there over the last bit. He's averaging 32 across the last five, which is not bad, but this is not a spot I want to use Ricky Rubio. For the shooting guards, Zach LaVine at 4,800. Hasn't been doing it for me lately. I reckon he'll be a pass. He's not a bad option, but I think he's a pass. 8,100 for DeMar DeRozan. Hasn't been cracking 40 very often recently either, so I think we'll leave him out of it. And Andy Wiggins at 6,500. Do you think that Wigo can get 30 points? He's going to need to do more than get zero rebounds to get there, so I'll leave him out of it. I would rather spend the 4,500 on Terrence Ross and throw him into a tournament because we know that he's got 30-point upside, especially with James Johnson out. For the small forwards, you can cross off Tayshaun Prince, and you can basically cross off anyone here. Nemanja Bjelica, Damian Rudej, Shabazz Muhammad. Muhammad's the only guy at 3,900 that I go, well, he's got 25-point upside, but even then, it's just not a situation that you can put a huge amount of faith in. The power forwards, same thing. 3,600 for both Luis Scola and Patrick Patterson. Maybe one gets hot, but I'm not risking that in anything apart from a flyer-type lineup. At center, we've got a big matchup here. Got a lot of guys to look at. Gorgui Dieng's at 6,300. The salary keeps rising. His production is right in line with 6,300, so he is a nice cash game play at that salary. Karl Anthony Towns is now at 8,700. It feels too high, 8,700. That's a big salary. We're talking, you know, a guy that's got to be getting 45 points, and yes, he's really good, but that means I'm probably fading him at that price. And Jonas Valanciunas is only at 6,600, so 2,000 less, but Towns' defense means that I don't want to use Jonas Valanciunas here either. The Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns, a similar boat to the Cavs taking on the Lakers. The Warriors are favored by 16, and the total is 220.5, so that's a massive total. But on a back-to-back against probably the worst team in the NBA, these guys are going to get their minutes reduced. I'm pretty confident of it. Curry's at 10,800. He's averaging 56 across the last three. He feels a no-brainer to play with such a positive matchup, but this has got 32-point Steph Curry written all over it. I will be fading him. Archie Goodwin at 5,400. I'm not worried about Steph's defense on him. He's at 5,400. You feel like 30 points is definitely within play for Archie. So he's a guy to have a look at. Shooting guards, Klay Thompson struggled against the Rockets. He's at 6,900. Again, it's a back-to-back against the worst team. Yes, it's a real benefit here, but he hasn't been really close to hitting value lately. I'd leave him alone. Devin Booker at 5,200 has some intrigue. Been a bit quiet lately. Not going to look at him in cash, but he's a tournament option for sure. At small forward, PJ Tucker, 4,900 for Tucker at 33 points in the last game. Some decent numbers coming up, but he's not a great DFS target. And Harry Barnes at 4,400, ramping it up. 23-point average across the last three, dropped 29 today against the Rockets. He's a guy that I might look at, but I'd probably end up going in a different direction. Power forward Draymond Green, I reckon the minutes restriction again could come into place here. He did struggle against the Rockets, only putting up 24 points. He's at 9,100, is more of a tournament than a cash game option. Whereas Markieff Morris at 5,800, I think that he's a great fit in both formats. At 5,800, if he gets 30 points, it's 5x. He's averaging 36 across the last five, 33 across his last three. We're projecting him at over 30 here. I think this is a really good spot to use Markieff Morris. And at center, if you think that Andrew Bogut's going to play 29 minutes in a back-to-back, I think you're going to be very, very sorely mistaken. He's at 4,200. He's a definite fade for me. Alex Len and Tyson Chandler, the minute split keeps it hard to use either of those guys in cash. Len is the more productive guy. He's been more productive over the last three games. And maybe in a tournament you'd look at him, but yeah, the confidence level's not high until one of those guys really establishes themselves as a 27 to 30 minute a night guy. At the moment, it's sort of alternating at 24 minutes apiece, and one guy with 25 one night and 21, and you can go back and forth like that. The last game of the night, the Houston Rockets and the Portland Trail Blazers. Noah Vonleh has been upgraded to probable for the Trail Blazers, so that means we might see less Mo Harkless. Damian Lillard is at 9,000. Love this going up against the Rockets for him. He's got a great history against the Rockets. He's averaging 45 across his last three. 45 looks to be the target again here. 4,600 for Pat Beverly. No thanks. The Blazers actually have been reducing opposition point guards' fantasy scoring pretty well lately, so I don't want to be using him here. Jim Harden, fresh off a big game now. It is a back-to-back for him, so that's going to be an issue. He's at 10,700. The Blazers have been restricting shooting guards quite a bit as well. I would fade Jim Harden here. I'd be way more inclined to use CJ McCollum at 7,600, who has got a positive matchup against the Rockets. He's averaging 34 across the last three. Way more happy with using him rather than Harden off a back-to-back and dealing with that you know, extremely $3,000 higher salary. 4,400 for Alan Crabb. Not a bad guy to have a look at. I don't mind him even in a cash game situation if you're looking for a cheap shooting guard. Same with Gerald Henderson, who's at 4,300. As much as I don't like what he brings in DFS situations, he's putting up big numbers pretty much. 24 points in the last five games at 4,300 is not bad. Just had a tweet come through and from Clement Tang. He says, "Young gun ? Did I forget to do the young gun of the night? Did I? I don't think I did.
Porzingis.
I'm pretty sure I did it. If I didn't, I apologize. Kristaps Porzingis was the young gun of the night, but I'm pretty sure I went through what he was able to do earlier on. Maybe I'm completely lost my mind. That's possible as well. So I apologize if I didn't go through that. At the small forward position, Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,000. A great bump situation, but his production has been off. It hasn't been reaching that level. In a tournament, maybe, but not a huge amount of faith in using him. 5,800 for Trevor Ariza. Don't mind getting him out there, but he's more of a tournament option too. And Mo Harkless and Corey Brewer are not options that I'm all that keen on. At power forward, you love the situation against the Rockets, but the volatility of the Blazers' rotation makes it difficult. Now, Ed Davis is at 4,200. I'm okay throwing him into a tournament. He dropped 28 today. He could be a 23, 24-point guy, but I'm not overly enthused with it. But I think that he's one of the better. It's not easy to find a cheap power forward option on today's slate. Josh Smith, Clint Capella, Montrezl Harrell, Terrence Jones, or Jones is out. None of those guys have really any interest to me on the Rockets. At the center position, Myers Leonard at 3,700. He's a tournament only guy. He's going to get a pretty decent bump here if he plays some four as well. Mason Plumlee, not getting enough minutes for 5,300. Don't want to use him. And Dwight Howard at 7,900. He's not a bad guy to use. Averaging 36 across his last three. I feel like you can be a 37 to 40 point player, yeah, relatively comfortably. He's a guy that I have some interest in. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day now. At point guard, TJ McConnell at 3,900. Archie Goodwin at 54 and Dame Lillard at 9,000. At shooting guard, Etwan Moore, 42. Nick Batum, 7,000. And CJ McCollum, 7,600. Small forwards, Stan Johnson, 49. Kent Bazemore, 54. And Paul George, 87. Power forwards, Ed Davis, 42. Zach Randolph, 63. And Paul Millsap, 81. And the centers, Tim Mozgov, 3,500. Al Horford, 73. And DeMarcus Cousins, 10,600. We are done today, guys. Apologies for the lateness of the podcast. Don't forget, today's podcast was brought to you by SeatGeek, so download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code REDROCK for $20 refund off your first purchase. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and in YouTube and leave a review. It's awesome if you could do that. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram, redrock_bball. You can go and enter those Instagram daily contests. Same on Facebook, which is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Comment on the links there and let's get some more discussion going. It has been ramping up lately and I've been very impressed with that. So thank you guys. Just get a bit more conversation happening. It's a fun place to go and chat and talk hoops and fantasy stuff and trades and comments and all that stuff back and forward. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Ooh, didn't come up. That's better. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. We'll be right back.